as you contemplate your future, you understand that part of what you're going to think about in the future is going to be money. I mean, I was telling you that I was listening to a tape by MacArthur, and he says, life is money. Why would you say something like that? And it's because the amount of time that we're here on earth is spent either finding ways to make money or, for many people, finding ways to spend money. And you're on, in that endeavor, a large part of your time here. And as we talked about last week, God's Word has much to say about, you know, your responsibility with the money that you're given. And tonight, Ron Lincoln, how many of you have met Ron before? Good. If you haven't, you probably need to get to know Ron. He's the one that did this presentation tonight. And he's extremely gifted in the area of finances and budgeting especially that we're going to talk about tonight. We're really going to talk about three areas tonight. We're going to talk about credit cards. How many of you have credit cards? Good. We're going to talk about debit cards. How many have debit cards? Well, you can't have both. And then lastly, we're going to talk about budgets. How many of you have a budget? Okay. Those are going to be the three areas we talk about, and hopefully you'll leave with an understanding of the way that the Lord would call you in those different areas and how you might glorify Him in that endeavor. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank You so much to be in Your house tonight. What a joy it is to be with believers, to worship and to praise You, and then to open Your Word and learn, Lord, from it the way that we might walk here on earth to give You glory, and Lord, that we might please You as good stewards. Father, we pray You give us wisdom and You help us understand it through Your Spirit. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's see if this is going to work now. Look at that. I want you to know, Ron came up with all of this. This is his design. Is it patented or copyrighted, Ron? That's right. Well, we begin with money matters for college students, budgeting, credit cards, and debit cards. Okay, and Matthew 6:24, I think, is an important verse for believers to understand. Because let me tell you something. None of what we talk about having to do with money is going to make any sense if you're not a believer. Matter of fact, it's probably working the opposite way. You know, if you're not a believer, what is your primary purpose in making money? To spend it on who? On yourself. I mean, that is the goal. Now, for a believer, what's the primary purpose of making money? Well, you better save that answer. Let's keep going. We'll see. Because Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." They're what we call in statistics mutually exclusive, right, Megan? Mutually exclusive. You can't do both, and your priorities can't be God and they can't be wealth. They're one or the other, and God makes that very clear in His Word. Okay, so here's the top five college student money mistakes. I've given you the last one. Number five is choosing a college that's too expensive. What else? What else do you think are top five college student money mistakes? What else? Buying things on credit. Let's see if that shows up. Well, not budgeting. Ruining your credit score would be what Josh was saying there. Squandering your student loan money. And getting into credit card debt. Any of those sound familiar? You know, budgeting helps you understand what you have to spend. That helps you make decisions within your means. And, you know, selecting a college, people have all different abilities and means for income. But the bottom line is you've got to choose a school that fits your budget. I know in my family, I was one of five children. And by the time I came up, it was all gone. I mean, I was the fourth one. Excuse me. And there were three of my siblings already in college. And my folks had made this promise to us when we were growing up. My dad was the only one in his family ever to go to college, and he was able to do that because of the VA program that allowed him to be able to go for free. But he said, I've worked so that you guys can all go to college, so I'll pay for your school. Well, it worked with the first three, but when I got there, you know, it was gone. So I went to junior college for 2 years. And that was probably just as stigmatized then as it is now. You know, people go, oh, you got to go to a big school. Well, you don't. I'm here to tell you, you don't. You're going for an education. So it's just, and you can get all those core classes done in a junior college. And I know that's not where all the fun is, but you don't want to end up, after you finish college, with a tremendous amount of debt. You want to try to choose a school that's not too expensive. So we're going to look tonight, most specifically, though, about these two problems where they're not budgeting and getting into credit card debt, because the number one problem is credit card debt. Why is that? Well, we're going to give you the good, bad, and the ugly here with credit cards, because there is some good, all right? It's not all bad, but I'll give you the pizza example here, the 10-year pizza. Imagine being 30 years old, so 10 years after you bought this pizza, and you're still paying off the slice of pizza you bought when you were in college. Well, that sounds crazy, but for plenty of people, that is the problem that credit card debt can lead to. They'll go charge a pizza, they'll run their credit card up, and you know what? They're still paying it off, you know, 10 years later. The average college student has $2,500 in credit card debt at graduation. $2,500. In addition to student loans. Learning about responsible credit card use now can save you from having to dig yourself out of debt after you graduate. Because you know what? The decisions that you make now, while you're in college or shortly when you get out, are things that you'll carry into life after, whether you get married. You know, if you're marrying someone and you're both bringing large debts into the marriage, it can create very difficult days and very difficult problems. One of the most challenging situations that young people get into has to do with money, because they don't have what? Enough. Doesn't change when you get to be my age. Well, credit cards are the good. They're safer than carrying cash, right? Their low risk is stolen because they're separate from your other accounts. They can be a free loan for 20 to 25 days, no interest charge if they're paid off monthly. They can be an emergency money source. Many companies offer incentives for use, like airline miles and those kind of things. And they're an automatic record of purchases. If you're going to rent a car, you have to have a credit card. That's pretty amazing, but that's the way it is. The bad, there's significant interest charges if they're not paid off every month. Anybody ever run into that where they had a credit card and they didn't pay it off on the month? Anybody had that? No? Everybody's always paid? You have. Now, did they just charge you interest for the 1 month, or did they roll it into the next month too? Right. Yeah, and you know, I had that happen to me. Fortunately, I didn't have a credit card when I was y'all's age. I just didn't have the. It used to be hard to get. Seriously, you used to have to qualify for them, and I didn't have one. And by the time I got one, my mindset was to pay it off every 3 days. But I did have a time where they didn't apply my payment for whatever reason, so the interest showed up. Well, it's easy at that point. If you've paid it, you call them up and they take the interest off. If you've read your bill. Okay, but guess what? The next month, like Drew says, there's another charge for interest. And I called it up and they said, oh yeah, that's no problem. We just always carry it forward. I mean, there's all kinds of miscellaneous charges that come with these cards. Here's all the potential fees if not managed closely. You know, late payment, over the credit, return check, cash advance, membership fees, even foreign exchange fees. Credit card numbers must be guarded because of fraudulent use is prevalent. See, if somebody gets your credit card number, anybody ever give out a credit card number over the phone or any other way? Yeah, I mean, if you're going to buy stuff, you give out your credit card number. But if somebody gets a hold of that, they can charge up your credit card, and you have to keep track of that. Okay? And it happens quite often. Ron was telling me, you've had it how many times? Four times. They like Ron. They come back and keep going. Well, credit card debt can become overwhelming very quickly. And like I say, if you guys don't have any yet, you're blessed. Because I see people your age, and then it just seems to continue more and more as they get older, and from probably the early 20s to the early 30s, where they just accumulate this thinking what? They'll be able to pay it off when they get that really good job, right? Well, you know what happens is these credit cards are easily abused. They're easy to lose control of spending. Too easy for someone to spend more than they should, and often used where there are lower cost alternatives. You know, a lot of times the college tuition, the student loans, have lower interest rates. They're subsidized by our government. Do you know that? So a student loan may have a much lower rate than if you're paying your tuition on a credit card. Credit card companies come after college students. Anybody had that experience? Yeah. Do you ever get credit card things in the mail with your name on them? They're after you. Look, they've got you targeted. You're a group that is very, very profitable for them. Why? Well, you're a brand new consumer with no experience and no money, which to me, I would wonder how they can pay their bill, but for some reason they don't. They figure they can get money out of you. You're in a position where the entire world is urging you to consume. But what they do is they get you the now. And I mean, you're not thinking, look, the credit card companies are not evil, they're just capitalistic. And you're either naive or you're educated. We're trying to educate you here because the low minimum payments can keep people paying on credit cards almost indefinitely. You know, a credit card bill comes with a payment. It's either all of it for what you have on the card or, hey, guess what? You can only pay a small amount, right? And your bill's paid. Isn't that great? Yeah, in the meantime, the bill's growing and growing and growing. You're making the minimum payment thinking, well, I'm knocking something off. You're not knocking anything off. They've got you. And their whole program is they're going to keep you. Now, credit cards, the college student's choice. If you manage your credit card wisely, you'll finish college with what? A discipline of paying off any credit card balance monthly. Look, if you're going to have a credit card, I want you to come into it knowing this. You're never going to use it for any other reason than to be able, for a convenience standpoint or from a record-keeping standpoint, to use that credit card and pay it off every month. The entire balance every month. Everybody understand that? Does that make sense? If you're going to have a credit card, the only reason you would have it is for convenience or for record-keeping purposes, and you're going to pay the entire balance off monthly. Anyone think any different than that? Anyone think that it's a good idea to keep a balance on that credit card? Yeah. Yeah, you know, that is such a fallacy. Now, when I was growing up, that might have been true. You know, you had trouble getting credit in those days. How many have had any trouble getting a credit card in this room? If you want a credit card, you can get it. Okay? Now, I'll tell you something, Drew. If you pay that balance off every single time and you go to a bank or a lender and show that you've had a credit card and you've always paid the balance, what do you think that does to your credit score? It's good. You've got history. But I don't think that should even be in anybody's thought. You don't want to pay the expense of quote-unquote building a credit score. You just don't. It's a fallacy today. You can get money today. Borrowing the money is not the problem. You know what the problem is? Paying it back. You want to finish college with no credit card debt. Matter of fact, you want to finish your life with no credit card debt. Okay? If you choose the way the credit card companies want you to choose, you'll finish with a high interest credit card, lots of debt, staggering monthly payments, and the credit card company's love and attention for the rest of your life. Proverbs 22:13b says, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. See, Proverbs is making it reality as to what really happens. When you borrow money, and you get lulled into this as the one who's naive, you actually become the slave of the one who's lent you the money. What was that verse from Matthew that we looked at first? Yeah, you're going to serve one or the other. And you know what? You do want to be a slave. But who do you want to be a slave to? To Jesus Christ. You don't want to be a slave to some credit card company, because that's they've wooed you into that. Okay, we have a handout, I think. Ron has a handout if you would like to pick this up, about what college students should look for if they're going to get a credit card. That, they're going to do what? Pay off at the end of every month. There's certain things you want to look for. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there's lots of stuff that's in these credit cards. There's on that handout, it gives you even what the interest rates are if you want to know that. My deal on the credit cards is find one that doesn't cost you to have it, because there are some that you pay a fee just to have it. Don't get one of those. There's plenty out there that don't. And then pay it off monthly so you don't pay any fees to anybody. Then you're using the credit card. You're managing it. It's not managing you. Debit cards. What's the difference between a credit card and a debit card? Anybody know? Yeah, Josh. Yeah. And what does a credit card do? Yeah, I mean, it just bills you. When you get a debit card and you use your debit card, it immediately comes out of your account. So let's look at the good, bad, and the ugly with debit cards. Debit cards, is the good is it allows quick and convenient transactions. It's safer than carrying cash around. It's accepted by most businesses. It's extra protection of a PIN number. And there's less chance of excessive credit card debt. See, when you have a debit card, if you don't have any money in your account, what do? It doesn't work. So there is some benefit to that. It's hard to run up a debt on a debit card because you can't. All right? It's an automatic record of your purchase. Okay? What's the bad with a debit card? What do you think would be bad with a debit card? Overdrawn? Yeah, they're riskier than credit cards because they do give direct access to your account. I didn't know you could. Can you overdraw with a debit card? Once? It shuts it down. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I'm of this generation. I have a debit card. I've never used it. That's just, you know, my kids use debit cards, but I don't know why anybody would use a debit card. So, yeah, that's you know, go to the ATM. I've used it for that, I think. A debit card number must be guarded. Fraudulent use is prevalent with those as well. There are transaction fees with a debit card. 10 cents to $1.50 per transaction is common. Does anybody have a debit card where it's free to use? Yeah, I would get one of those. Get one of those. Watch those transaction fees. You got to read your statement too, guys. I don't care, you know, how you're using these things. You don't know about fees unless you read them. And you just want to make sure you're reading your statements. You're not getting any. Because I'll tell you something. There's always some really strange fees on there. And, you know, a lot of times not even fees you've had. If your debit card's stolen, your loss is limited to $50 if it's reported within 2 days. If you don't notify the company within 2 days, it can be $500. And if you wait even longer, you can lose a huge amount of money if you fail to notify the bank within 60 days of an unauthorized transfer on your statement. You can lose all the money in your account. Okay? The ugly. And you can check with your bank. Their practices may differ. When your debit card is stolen, even if you notify the bank in time, your account can be overdrawn, resulting in bounce check fees from a merchant, overdraft fees from your bank. Anybody ever run into that? Anybody ever bounce a check? Nobody's ever bounced? A couple people bounce a check? Is it very expensive to bounce a check? Yeah. $30. Because your bank charges you and the merchant charges you. And I mean, these fees, you can write a check for $20, bounce it, and you've just, you know, there you go, got $30. And there's some honest people in here, and there's some I don't know if they are. Check with your bank again. Okay. Credit cards and debit cards, should you have them? I mean, we talked about the good, bad, and the ugly. So it comes down to, should you have them? Well, it's for you to decide. Will the use of these cards hinder or help me in following God's principles for money? And this is just a review, because we looked at this last week. What are God's principles? God owns everything. Remember that from Psalm 24:1? The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who what? Who dwell in it. So, I mean, does it help you with you have this understanding that everything is God's, and God provides all of our possessions, God provides the ability for us to acquire wealth? Will credit or debit cards improve your stewardship of God's resources? Is it possible that credit cards and debit cards could help you in your stewardship of God's resources? What do you think? I think they can be tools. They can be tools to help you in record keeping. They can be tools for, you know, cash is a slippery thing, isn't it? I mean, you get cash in it. Matter of fact, you know, I think before I came here, I have a dollar. You know, I know I had more money than that. You know, you just can't keep track of cash. How are you walking around with a dollar? I mean, I can't track cash. But I mean, can you track a credit card or a debit card? Yeah, you can. So it can be helpful. If you decide to use these cards, follow these guidelines. Understand the cards, their use, and their risk. And by that I mean, pay the credit card off when? Monthly. I think you're getting that. Manage the cards and the card companies. Don't let them manage you. All right? Don't be naive there. You've got the information now. Okay? You know that there is this desire from the credit card companies to get you to have one and to use it and to pay interest on it. Okay? But you have the information now. I remember when Linda and I first got married, she grew up with a little different perspective than I did. I grew up with a dad who, you know, grew up in the Depression, and I mean, his idea of credit was you just didn't have any, period, end of sentence, and it transmitted to me. I mean, that's the way I grew up. Linda grew up in a family where, you know, they kind of thought, if you can have it today and pay for it tomorrow, look at how much longer you've got to use it. Right? You understand that theory? The only problem is, it's like that pizza, you know? You're eating it today and you're still paying for it 30 years from now, okay? So we didn't really discuss this when we were getting married. We were too much in love to think about credit cards, right? Yeah, so what happened the first Christmas? Look, Linda doesn't spend any money on herself, never has. But you know, the first Christmas when we had kids, you know, it comes around January. And I get this credit card bill. And I'm like, what in the world? What happened? And she goes, well, honey, we didn't have any money. And I said, I know. Kids like playing with sticks and rocks and stuff, you know? And she said, no, honey, they had to have presents. And I'm serious, guys. Look, this was a problem because then we had to pay it off. And it took a while. But, you know, it didn't really sink in because you know what happened the next Christmas? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Two Christmases. Oh, yeah. Anyway. Not that I was smarter than my wife in that area, because you know what? Those kids did need those toys. I have no doubt about it. They would have grown up probably, you know, some way totally ruined by not having presents. So she knew better than that. But we did work it out. I just want you to know from that point forward, we did work it out. And, and she participated with me. We never did that again. And the kids played with rocks and sticks. Oh, no, we got him something. Contentment. This is important. We're going into budgeting. And I think if you don't understand contentment when you go into budgeting, you're going to have a very depressing time. You really are. Because you must be content with what you have. And when you go into budgeting, you have to understand God has given you what you have. It is a blessing. And I know here in our society, living in South Lake or Grapevine or wherever you live, this is a very affluent area. And you can look around and see that somebody, because I'll tell you something, somebody in this town has more than you do. I guarantee you can find somebody with more than you have. And you don't have to look too far. And you can be discontented with that fact. You know, it's just so easy to look around and be discontented, isn't it? Until you go to some third world country and realize that everyone in this nation is rich. Everyone. And so, contentment. Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Being content with what you have. For He Himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Do you see how that two master things worked in here again? Because if your character is free from the love of money, you're free to do what? Be a slave to Christ. If your character has money as its sole focus and love, who are you going to serve? Money. Hebrews 13:5 calls you to be content with what you have. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by what? By contentment. For we brought how much into the world? We brought nothing into the world. Everything you have comes from God. But we cannot take anything out of it either. Unless you're an Egyptian Pharaoh's son, in which case you can take tons of stuff. Unfortunately, it stayed in the tomb, didn't it? If we have food and covering with these, we shall be what? Content. What shall we be content with? What's that say? Food and covering. You know, it doesn't say anything about a Trans Am, does it? It doesn't say anything about the fanciest clothes. The things, look, what is it that drives you? Is it food and covering? Good. Is it more than that? Well, you need to see what the Lord calls you to be content with, because that's what He's promised to provide. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to give away everything we have and just be content with food and clothing? I don't think so. I think if you look at 1 Timothy 6, it says that the Lord has given us what we have and we're to be generous with it. We're not to be in this commune sense of mind. We're to be stewards with what God has given us. And if we have food and covering, with that we're to be content. Does that make sense? Financial goals for college students. Why is contentment important in budgeting? Why do you think it is? Why do you need to come to budgeting with a level of contentment before you start? Why? Look, there's nobody that comes to budgeting that sits down and goes, you don't have too much. This is way too easy. No. See, budgeting usually starts with what you have, and then you've got to spread it over what your expenses are. That's a typical way of budgeting. We're not going to do that tonight, but it's a typical way to come to it. And you always end up with a couple more things you want than what you have. Most people. Okay? So, I don't know. You guys may be different. Okay. You want to follow biblical stewardship principles. You want to practice contentment. It will help you graduate with no credit card. Oh, wait a minute. You mean I'm talking about you guys budgeting? I thought that's something you did when you're my age. Or maybe when you're married. No, we're talking about budgeting right now. Right now. You build that discipline into your life now, and it will stay with you your entire life. Okay? So we're saying it will help you while you're in college to graduate with no credit card debt and as little student loans as possible. You want to start your first job with the right financial priorities. You want to provide, and again, this is biblical. The Lord gave you the wealth that you have so that you can provide for yourself, your basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, car, and in America, retirement. Okay? But then you also want to be able to provide for your family. And the Lord will provide that as well. And the housing, college I'm talking about for your children. See, we're not talking about budgeting just for your needs now, today. And we're not talking about some kind of budget that, you know, is going to give you all this for sure. But these are things you need to be thinking about. Even now, things you need to be thinking about. And then you want to make sure that you're budgeting where you can give to others in need and give to the church. It starts now, guys, when you're in college. You want to plan for the short term, though. The current semester, you want to fill out a detailed plan, a budget, track your spending, compare it to your plan. How can you track your spending? A debit card, that works. What if you don't have a credit card or a debit card? How can you track your spending? Yeah, there's lots of good programs. You know of one off the top of your head? Quicken. I mean, it's cheap. It can help you track your spending. You just fill it in. Gives you a report at the end of the month. You guys like computers, don't you? You can track your spending without credit cards and without debit cards. And then you can compare it to your plan, and then you can adjust. That's the huge thing about a budget. Do you know that? A budget isn't made to go, man, I'm not keeping that. It's so that you can see what you have and what you're spending, and then you can adjust your spending. Usually you don't have to adjust it up, but you'll have to adjust it. You also want to plan for the long term. You know, until graduation. That's long term. You want to plan for the long term. Fill out an estimated plan for each semester. Revise the plan at the end of each semester. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. See, again, even when you're budgeting, you want to be budgeting with those biblical principles in mind, thinking about being a steward of what God's provided you. So you want to commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take, Ron's going to take this table. He's going to come over here. And then the rest of you guys are going to go back there. And we're going to do a little bit of budgeting. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to discuss items listed under the expenses. Discuss what's appropriate for one semester of college. Fill in the budget, the semester budget column. Add up the total amount of expenses. And that's what we're going to do in this little exercise. We're just going to see what it's like. We're not going to take but a couple hours doing this. So, okay, you guys move this way. Ron, you want to meet him up here? And I don't know. And this group will come back this way. Okay? What other ways can you... you know what I'm really pleased about in this room? I think most of you guys are figuring out a way to get through school with very little debt. There may be somebody in here that I'm missing that, you know, incurring great debt. But, you know, really and truly, it's important to choose a school you can afford, even with the things you're... And that's going to vary. Some people have lots of help from parents. Some have none. Well, if you have none, you're probably going to go to a less expensive school. And you're to be content with that. Okay? And I'm here to tell you that when you come out of school, the most important thing that you're going to learn in school is how to finish. And if you've learned to do a budget while you're in school, you're going to be ahead of a lot of people that come out. You're going to know, you're going to come through it with being able to discipline yourself. And you're going to come through it learning to budget. That's what we're hoping. Okay? And you also come with one of these. Now, Ron, do you have extras of these? Okay, if you've written on yours and messed it up, you can email Ron and he will email you one. And you can start over again and use that. Now, get this slide. Everybody look up here. Because this is what leads people to great amounts of debt. Okay? It's unrealistic expectations. Now, this was a 2005 survey, so I know it's completely out of date. But it revealed that teenagers, now I know there's no teenagers in here, but it can go to 20s too, unrealistically to expect high incomes. The boys thought their average expected income was going to be $174,000 a year. Hey, don't laugh. I have absolutely interviewed people that think that's what they should make on their first job. Right, Drew? No, and Drew didn't make that much either. So a girl's average expected income was $114,500. What is realistic? Now, this is men's median income. This isn't the lowest that any man makes. This is the median income in 2005. It's probably gone all the way up to $45,000 by now. That's reality. Okay? Why would it cause you, if you think you're going to make $174,000 a year, why would that cause you to have more debt? You think you're going to be able to pay it off? No problem. First year. And you know what happens? You make $41,000 a year, and that's barely enough to pay your own bills, and you've got this debt that you brought into the marriage, and you know what? You're never getting out from under it. That is a sad place to be, and it's a sad place as a man who's counseling. And both Ron and I have done that. We've worked with young married people, and you know what? We can't tell them. We can't show them the light at the end of the tunnel because it's not there. And that's hard. That is very hard to say, you know what? The Lord requires you to honor your commitments. And you've made commitments beyond what you can make. And you're going to have to work a little bit at a time. Now, the Lord can work it out for an individual, but you can't presume upon the Lord. Does that make sense? You can't walk into these debts and say, well, the Lord's going to bail me out. That is presuming on the Lord. And the Bible absolutely says that you're not to do that. Only one person out of 20 earns $100,000 a year. Only one family in six earns over $100,000. That's reality, guys. Unrealistic income expectations leave many college students to amass large part of debt, student loans, credit card debt. The anticipation of growing income leads many to take on more debt with car loans, and then later on even home loans. I can hear we're near our end of our time. Okay, loan payments consume... let's go back to that a minute. Loan payments consume the budget making giving or savings unrealistic. See, the Lord would have you work on margin. What does that mean? Spend less than you make. Why? So that you can save some and so that you have some to give. What good is it if you see a brother and sister in need and you so indebted yourself you can't meet it? Guys, you're supposed to put something aside so that you can help others. That's biblical. Now, that's not what the world's going to tell you. They're going to tell you spend everything now because you might die tomorrow. What's that bumper sticker say? He wins who has the most what? Toys. You know, that's... I can't even tell you how wrong that is. It's very wrong. When you're out of college, plan for the short term. Now, this is... We're talking about budgeting now, but we're also talking about carrying that over into your life after college. Plan for the short term, your immediate needs, giving, housing, transportation, daily living expenses. That's that chart you have. Have a plan for the long term as well. But remember this, that we're not negating by planning anything that the Lord's going to will for your life. It says in James 4:15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or do that. Again, all of our plans that we make are submitted to whom? To the Lord. But you know, a man does make his plans, but the Lord what? The Lord directs his steps. Paul planned on a certain missionary journey going somewhere, and then he changed his plans because God called him to where? To Macedonia. And he went. Okay, you make your plans, but if the Lord changes your plans, you change your plans. That doesn't mean you don't plan, right? That means that you submit your plans to the Lord. Okay? So you do plan. Don't think it's unbiblical to plan. What's unbiblical is to have your plan above the Lord's plan. Okay? We want to continue to keep a submissive spirit to the Lord. Now, this is end for us here. These verses, I want you to take with you. Because whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Knowing that it's from the Lord you will receive the reward of an inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. You can't serve what? Money and the Lord. You're going to serve one or the other. And then finally, Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Your integrity, your contentment, your character is your witness. And it's more important than great wealth. Let's close. Father, we do thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you give us from your word. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to apply it here on earth, that we might give you glory and spend eternity with you, Father, seeking to be a steward who's lived here as one who pleases you and lives with you in eternity as one who is to do your will. Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom as we seek to do your will here on earth. And Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.